Okay. It all started simply enough. The issue that I wanted to talk about was selling chametz temporarily. Let's say, instead of the way we do our sales, just go to someone who isn't Jewish and say, today is Erev Pesach, I'm selling you all my chametz, and you will own it for the next 8 days. And then after that, it's mine again. Almost like a rental, which we're going to have to talk about, what the difference would be between a rental and a sale like that. So does that work? That's not the way our mechira works. The way our mechira works is that we sell it to him. It's his, free and clear. We tell him, you pay us a little bit now, and the rest of it, the rest of your payment is going to come after Pesach is over. We'll sit down, we'll get an official appraisal, and we'll work it out, and you'll owe us however many millions of dollars, and we can work that out after Pesach. And that's the way the sale works. And then after Pesach is over, generally speaking, he says, you know what, I'd like to sell it back to you. I'm not really interested in buying all that.
Is that what he says? Or does he default?
No, he doesn't default. We have to be very clear about that, that he's not defaulting on the payment. He's simply saying, I'm opting out. I'm selling it back to you.
You're selling it back.
Right. Effectively, he's selling it back to us. Mm-hmm. That's his...
So he's asking us... Preordained, in other words, in some way in writing, or it's basically it's a nod and a wink. And
no, he theoretically could decide he wants to pay for it, but he's going to get a real appraisal, and it's going to cost him, a serious amount of money. As a matter of fact, the Baal HaTanya, I think, was the one who required an Arev Kablan, which many communities do now, a guarantor, a Jew who says, "I will put up the money for him in the event that he cannot pay." Because otherwise, it's a little bit unrealistic. I go to the custodian of my shul, and I say, you want to buy multi-million-dollar purchases for the supermarket chain or whatever it is? Yeah, it's a little bit nonsense. So you go to somebody who has the means, and that person is the guarantor, so he'll come up with the cash, and then this person will just owe it to him. So that way the sale could really go through. That's what we do. So it's a full sale with a big balloon payment due after Pesach is over. But why bother with that? Why not just do a temporary sale? Could that actually work? This is not really a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch proper. The Minchas Chinuch only has a very short piece in Yud Aleph Tes on page Ayin Dalet. The Kometz HaMincha is the one who goes into it. The Minchas Chinuch just talks about Kona Chametz L'Zman, the reverse case. What if I buy chametz temporarily? Am I considered to be the owner? You see that? Ayin choshim mishpat siman shin mem vav halakech behem l'shloshim yom. The second paragraph on the outside column in Ayin Dalet. If you buy an animal for 30 days, yesh sovrim davi shomer chinam. Some say he's a shomer chinam. V'yesh sovrim davilu shomer chinam lo avi hu patar filu mipshia. And some say, no, you're not a shomer chinam at all. It's yours. So in other words, I buy an animal off of Ivan. I run the animal into the ground. The animal, by the time I'm done with it, is barely even alive. Maybe it's not even alive at all. The sale period ends, and Ivan says, what'd you do to my animal? My answer is, what do you mean? I bought it. It was mine during that period. So some say, as we'll see, that I was really a shomer chinam. So even though Gneva Vaveda wasn't an issue, whatever, but I had to at least not be careless with it. And others disagree and say, no, I'm poter entirely. I was lokech. I was the owner at that point. Mikol makom bekona chametz lizman. However, when you buy chametz for a period of time, al kolpanim yesh lo kenyan peros. I still have the
original bow.
No, I am the one who's buying chametz now. So I buy chametz from somebody for a temporary period on it. I am considered the owner as far as Pesach is concerned because I have a kenyan peros. I own whatever it produces. V'havi matzui biyado. And it's in my hands, the chayiv b'bal yerah, and therefore I'm liable for bal yerah. It is mine to some extent, whether I'm a shomer chinam or whether I'm a kona, whatever. That's the little bit that the minchas chinuch discusses. The kometz hamincha goes into mocher chametz lizman, selling it temporarily. And I read it at first, and I thought, oh, this makes sense. This is straightforward. I could present this. And then I started looking at his sources and his cases, and I realized that it's not nearly as clear as the way that it's presented here. And that's what I wanted to try to get across today. So, the opening question that we have to ask is, when you make a temporary purchase, is the buyer really a buyer or not? That's our opening question. So, in other words, I sell it to a non-Jew for 8 days. is the non-Jew the buyer of the chametz? Does he own the chametz now or not? So take a look at source number Aleph, please. A comment from Tosfos. Tosfos is dealing with a discussion regarding the status of a husband in his wife's property. The Gemara's line was, Bal b'nichsa ishto lo shoal havi v'lo socher havi. The husband is not a borrower, the husband is not a renter. And he says, Umiu nira l'ri, it appears to the ri, de shomer chinam havi, that the husband is a shomer chinam on his wife's property. V'chayav b'pshia, and therefore if he is careless, he is going to be liable. Now we'll see why that matters and what that case is in a little bit. But the point really for us right now is the next part. Ulefize, based on this idea that the re expresses in that case, halokech behema l'shloshim yom, if I purchase an animal for 30 days, avagav de lo shoel havi velo socher, even though I am neither shoel, borrower, nor renter, de beloshon mekach lokach, because we use the language of purchasing, mikamakum shomer chinam havi, nonetheless I am a shomer chinam. In other words, to put it differently, when I buy property off of somebody with a time limit on my purchase, I'm really promising something to him. I'm promising that after 30 days, he's going to get something back that I wasn't careless with. That's my pledge to him. Now, Tosfos sounds like I am a lokeach. I am a buyer. I am not a shomer chinam. I am a bona fide buyer and therefore owner of the item.
Not only that, he gave him money.
Yeah.
He made a kinyan.
Right.
He made a kinyan. How could he possibly have the status of a shomer chinam?
So the way I understand Tosfos, and I think you can feel free to disagree, but the way I understand Tosfos is that this is a purchase with a promise. I bought it from him, but I promised him that after 30 days is over, he's going to get something back that I wasn't careless with.
Why do you have to stick in that I wasn't careless with?
Because that's the standard that he's giving here. The standard is specifically shomer chinam. He doesn't call me.
No, right? What I mean to say is, you're making the giving back of an animal in good standing based upon the fact that he's a shomer chinam. And I'm saying that it's not based upon that, but it's based upon the original condition of sale, which was you're making a kinyan. You're really a lokeach. There's no shomer over here. But part of the conditions of the sale was that you give me back this animal in good standing.
So one problem with your use of the term condition. What if I don't protect him in good condition? What if I was pusheya? Is the sale void?
The sale is void because that was one of the conditions of the
And how is that any different from a rental?
Eino chinami.
No.
See,
if it's a rental,
there is also an exchange of money, but there's no kinyan.
Sure, there is.
There's a kinyan?
Not of ownership, but you do have an act.
But over here, there's an act of kinyan. That's the difference.
But what makes it mine? I don't understand.
You're kind of the animal until that period of time. It's a limited ownership.
Yeah.
But it's yours. That's a difference.
I don't need to argue the point right now about whether it's conditional or not. I think we're fundamentally
saying the shomer is on the responsibilities to the animal which belongs to Yenim.
Over here, it's yours
with conditions of ownership.
This is a Bal Menechsa Ishto. It's a particular unique case. You're going to start saying, this is...
Tosfos extrapolates. Right? He takes the next step. Right? He extrapolates. Ulefizeh. In any case, I look at Bengal Shloshim Yom. Tosa says, based on the position of the Ri on Baal Ben Zayishno, I'm now going to extrapolate and give that as a general rule.
Okay, that's a unique case. Yes, there are certain, Kenyan, there are certain conditions of the Baal Ben Zayishno that's unique. Does that create the paradigm for all?
Right. Certainly an arguable point. Just wait, it's going to get better. This is tip of the iceberg. Take a look at the Rambam in source base. Regarding
in any case, the Tosfos considers it to be a shomer chinam,
but it's also yours.
Who's chayim for pshia? What does it mean that it's yours? What does that give you?
Listed on your tax returns. This is your item. It's for all intents and purposes. You want to use it for a mortgage or something like that. Whatever it is, it's yours.
Okay.
You have full right to use it in any way, shape, or form, as opposed to a renter, where a renter is chayav for much more than pshia, right? The renter has a higher standard of liability. He's liable for geneva v'aveda. I'm not, it's mine.
But here it's a sort of seller beware a little bit.
Yeah.
Rent aware, yes. Short-term seller beware.
Yeah. Right. Just wait. I mean, this is going to get so much more confusing. We're like step one here of confusingness. We're going to come back to this Tosfos and we'll revisit it again. Just take a look at base, the Rambam. Hamocher guf hakarka lizman katsuv. If you sell land for a specific period of time, harayze mechira, that's a sale. Umishtamesh halakach beguf kechefzo. The buyer can use the body of the land as he chooses. Ve'ochel haperos kol zman habechira. He eats the produce the entire duration of the sale. Ubesof tachzor le'be'oleha. And at the end, it goes back to the owner. So far, so good? Right? Nothing to argue about there. In Vav, he says, Uma hefresh yesh bein hamocher karka lizman katsuv. What's the difference between someone who sells land for a fixed period of time and someone who says to somebody, I am selling you the rights to the produce that grows on my land? What's the difference? The guy who buys my produce can't change the land at all. V'lo yivne, he can't build. V'lo yaros, he can't destroy. But someone who builds, who buys the land itself for a fixed period of time, he can build, he can destroy. He can do whatever he wants all through the period of his purchase. Just like somebody who owns it forever. But someone who buys it forever can do it forever. He only bought it for 3 years, so he can do that for 3 years. So the Rambam says a temporary purchaser has full rights. There is no issue of pshia whatsoever. He can absolutely lay waste to the thing, and I have no objection.
No, and he gives it back like that?
Yeah, 100%.
And he gives it back like that?
He can do that up until the last second. The chol zmano akatsu, the entire time. So the Rambam gives me a very different framework. Now, you could distinguish between these cases, and I'm going to want to, because one is land, and one is movables.
Right.
So these may be apples and oranges. But again, a key point that goes along with this is in Source Gimel. This is not the same thing. When we're talking about this idea of a temporary sale, this is not the conditional that you thought it might be. Look at the Rambam and Hilchos Zechiyah u'Matana. Hanosein Matana, you give someone a gift, Amenas lahachzir, on condition that you're going to give it back. Harezu Matana, that's a valid gift. Whether it's to give back right away or to give back in 10 years, it doesn't make a difference. Even if you say this is a gift for his entire life and then upon his death it'll revert to me, it doesn't make a difference. Or as long as so and so is alive, some third party. That is a valid gift, whether movables or land. And he gets to eat the produce the entire duration of the gift. And then Yud, he says, I'm giving you this ox as a gift on condition that you return it. And then Hikdisho, he dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he returned it to me. It's now property of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's returned to me. In other words, his Hakdasha is valid. He is the owner during that period. However, that's if I said on condition that you return it. If, on the other hand, I say to him on condition that you return it to me, not just that you return it, but that you return it to me, eino kadosh. It's not dedicated. We're at the last line in Gimel. Shalo hisna olav ela sheyachzir davar haro'i lo v'chein kol kayotze b'zeh, because the condition was that he returned something that I can use. And that's the key. Where the sale, or gift in this case, is conditional, and the Shulchan Aruch rules this way, saying, on condition that you return it to me, it is a given that something appropriate will be returned. As opposed to where I sell it to you, and say, it's yours for this period of time, where it's not, there is no expectation something appropriate will be returned. It appears to me that Tosfos and the Rambam agree that the seller is not the owner. during this defined period.
Isn't it something like Ze'enu Shaloyev, Ze'enu Birshusai?
You know, in a sense, yes. Except that it is Birshusai.
So that's why we say that it can't be. We usually have a case like that where we have a problem. We makdish something Ze'enu because it's Ze'enu Shaloyev. Isn't this a case of similar to the
Well, let's
situation?
See. Let's figure it out. The seller is not the owner. The buyer is the owner. So it really is shalom for the buyer. On the other hand, the buyer, according to Tosfos, does not have full rights over it. Because he can't do whatever he wants, there are certain things that he has to watch out for. So could you argue that for the buyer, according to Tosfos, it's shalom but not birshuso? Maybe. Maybe. According to the Rambam, it's shelo and birshuso. It's fully his.
Right.
The debate is only the status of the buyer. So I have three questions. Question number one. Why isn't a temporary purchase the same thing as a rental? Why don't I say you bought this for 30 days? It's like renting it for 30 days. And therefore, your responsibility is like a socher, like a renter. You have to protect it from being stolen or being lost or whatever it is, and it's not yours at all. It's a rental.
According to the Rambam, it's very clear why it's not.
Well, I don't know why. According to the Rambam, it's very clear that it's not, but why not?
So he's saying that you have full ownership and you can do whatever you want with it.
Right, but why? He hasn't said
because
why.
Because that's the difference between the kinyan and the sechira. The kinyan is... There are no conditions. The only condition is you give it back to me.
Right, well, isn't that a condition of a rental?
No,
normally?
Rental is you give it back to me in the same condition that I gave it to you. And
but
you
why,
are also responsible
why isn't that
for
a given when you buy something for 30 days?
Because if we go by what the Rambam says, you can destroy the field and give it back to him.
But why? You're right, that's what the Rambam says. But why is
You're asking
so?
Me what the logic is?
Yeah.
Because one is a king. That's the difference. One is a king.
I'm
going to
give you the logic.
I'm going to give you the logic, okay?
Hang on. I'm going to give you the logic. You'll love the logic once you hear it. It makes perfect sense.
I would say the logic is that it's a different type of a deal. One deal is you're
We can do better than that. Hang in there.
Okay.
That's too much by definition as opposed to
yes.
Svara.
Hang in there. There's a great Svara behind it. But the first question is, why is the temporary purchase the same as a rental? Number two, is this really a machlokas? Maybe the land and the movable cases are not truly analogous. And here I'll bring you the Svara behind the Rambam. Take a look at Surah Dalet. The Magid Mishnah asks, why is it that the Rambam says that if I buy land temporarily, it's mine for the duration of that purchase and I can do whatever I want.
Including sell it?
Including everything, although at the end of my sale...
You have to revert.
Yeah. But take a look what he says. In the Ravid's comments on the Rambam, Amar Avram, the Ravid, said, I don't know what the Rambam source is, said the Ravid, for this idea of selling something for a specific period of time. This doesn't appear in the Gemara. I hunted. I can't find it. The Ravid says he can't find it either. So where does the Rambam get this? Well, Lee Nira, but the Magid Mishnah says, you know what appears to me? Shahamachaber, meaning the Rambam, Medame Hamocher Lizman Katsuv, Lemocher Bizman Shayov Al Noeg. He says, selling land for a period of time, a defined period of time, is just like selling land at a time when there's Yovel. We have a paradigm, right? At the end of the 50 years, it's going back into my family. Dikashem Shahamocher Bizman Hayovel, Bein Karov, Bein Rachok, Osebo Kol Cheftso, just like someone who sells it during the Yovel, when Yovel exists, whether Yovel is going to be next year or Yovel is going to be in 40 years, the purchaser can do whatever he wants with it for that period of time. He has no obligation to restore it in a certain state. Knowing that it's going back to the original owners in Yovel, the same rule applies to someone who sells for a specific period of time, because when the Torah doesn't specify, like here, we treat it like the case in which the Torah does specify, Yovel. The Kevin Shekain, and therefore, Av b'mochel izman katsuv adin kain, the rule is going to be the same when someone sells for a specific period of time. V'divrei ha'asagos einam brurim, he says, I don't understand what the Rebbe's problem was. V'yaseh divrei ha'machaber ha'mefarshim shekasav kulan brurim u'pshutin hein, and everything else is obvious from here on out. That's what he says. So says the Magid Mishnah. It's a brilliant explanation for where the Rambam gets this idea. But it opens the door to say, then, that a temporary sale of land is not the same as a temporary sale of other objects, because Yovel is only a land rule. So maybe the Rambam believes that if I sell land temporarily, the other person is now the owner and can do whatever he wants with it. But if I sell movables temporarily, indeed, he's a shomer chinam, he's a guardian, and at the end of the period of time, he has to provide it back to me without having been careless. Practical application, again, is going to be the sale of chametz. I can't sell you my chametz for 8 days. If they really have some relationship with me, if you don't have the ability to do everything you want with it, maybe. That's it. And number three, so that's question number one was, why isn't a temporary purchase the same as a rental? Question number two is, should I distinguish perhaps between land and movables? And the answer is maybe, based on this Magid Mishnah. And question number three is, really, we want to discuss selling chametz temporarily. Are you sure you can figure out the seller's status based on the buyer's status? The fact that you say the buyer is considered to be the purchaser, but he's a shomer chinam, what can you really extrapolate from that what the seller's status is? Maybe it's possible for there to be two owners. Could it be that they're both called owners to some extent? We have to figure that out. What are we talking about? So there are three cases.
What kind of ownership would the original Baal have in it?
Hang in there. Let's find out. Three cases that we have to work with here. Case number one is the case of marrying a woman who borrowed a cow. Okay? Marrying a woman who borrowed a cow. It's a Gemara in Bava Metzia Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. Source, hey, they're dealing with trying to figure out the status of a husband's relationship with his wife's property. A man marries a woman, she has property. What is the nature of the husband's claim to her property? So, Kikamabaya Lurami Barchama. This is part of a series of questions and answers. So the Gemara says, the question that Rami Barchama has is, Kikon da agra ihi parame alma. A woman, in this case presented right now, rented a cow from somebody. Vahadar nasva. And then this guy, separate person, not the owner of the cow, someone else, went and married her. Valiba de Rabbanan da amri shoal mishalim lesocher lotibayilach devade sheila babailami. He says, according to the view that a person who borrows from someone who rented a cow and then damages the cow, he has to pay to the person he borrowed it from, to the renter, in other words. So then certainly, that means the relationship is between the last person and the person coming in, and therefore, it's considered to be borrowing it with the owner present. Kitibayalach haliba drabiyosi damartazir parala baylam arishonim might. Shall have o socher have. The question is not really if we're dealing with the relationship between him and his wife, it's between him and the original owner within Rabbi Yossi. I don't want to go into that in depth because really it's the next line that matters. Amar Rava, Baal lo shoal havi velo socher havi, elokeach havi. Rava says, I don't know what you're talking about. The husband is not a borrower of his wife's property. He is not a renter of his wife's property. He is a buyer of his wife's property. When he engages in Kiddushin and Nisuin, he marries his wife, he provides certain things to her, and in return he receives certain things. He's a buyer. His access to her property has been purchased, and therefore he's a lokeach. And how can I prove that? Midu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. I can prove it based on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, which goes back to Ivan's question about selling the property. Watch this. Dam Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Beusha hiskinu. They made a takana when the Beis Din was in Usha. Haisha shemachra b'nichsei malog. If a woman sells her property, which was nichsei malog, which was going to go to the husband upon her death, then if she sells the nichsei malog b'chaye bala while the husband is alive, umesa, and then she dies, the husband is able to go to the people who bought it off of her and say, that's actually mine. He is considered to be a purchaser. So the point for us in our discussion is that the husband is defined as a purchaser purchasing his wife's rights to the cow. So in the case where she borrowed a cow and then got married, the husband, which is the case Shulchan Aruch is going to discuss, so in that case, he has bought the cow off of her. She is the borrower. And now, what is his responsibility to her? Tosfos is going to say, that's the Tosfos that we saw. He's a shomer chinam. He's a guardian. Okay? So if he's careless, then either you have to pay her or pay the original owners, depending on how you look at the responsibilities. But that's what he is. Tosfos says he is on the one hand a lokeach; he's a purchaser, like the Gemara said, he's a buyer. On the other hand, he has a responsibility
he made
to protect her.
When he bought her,
he didn't buy her. When he married her. It's not a purchase.
Does he not just acquire whatever rights she had in the cow?
So apparently not. Because if that were true... Well, no, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say apparently not. It looks like he does acquire her rights. What he doesn't acquire is her responsibilities. Correct. She is the one who has to watch out for the cow. He has a responsibility of don't be careless. And that's it.
So he drops a couple levels down to Shemrachinim.
I keep wondering, based on the topic we saw last week, whether the requirement of don't be careless is simply what we saw when we said that Hoshea Maziku, that a person who's careless is like a vandal. I keep wondering about that, but I haven't seen anyone who suggested that. So Tosfos says, you are a Shemrachinim and you are a purchaser. Okay, that's Tosfos. Ramban says, take a look at Source Vav. Ramban says, Had maskinan de bal benichse ishto lo shoal havi velo socher havi el kech rishon havi. When we say that the husband is not a borrower and is not a renter, but rather is a purchaser, nakat le lokeach rishon. The Gemara's language is lokeach rishon. Now that's the Ramban's edition. That's not our edition. Ramban's edition, the Gemara says he's called a lokeach rishon, a first purchaser. What in the world does that mean? So he says, Mishun Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. That's because of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, who takes the position that we saw in the Gemara, that the woman sells her stuff, then the husband can buy it back, can claim it back. Inami Mishum Shitva Deshar Duchte Dahacha Balkech Stam Sagilon. Alternatively, because of the other cases that are brought there in the Gemara. But here's the key. Uperisha Inyan, the explanation of the matter is Lomar Shehu Eino Shomer Klal, to say that he is not a guardian at all. Ela Ha'isha Shesachra, the woman who rented the cow, Chayevas Lishmor Kol Yimeis Chirusa, she has to guard it the entire period. Ubal Shalakach Zchusa Mishtamesh Bepara Kol Osam Hayamim. And the husband who acquired her rights gets to use it that entire time. The husband gets to use it that entire time. Nothing about Shomer Chinam. Ramban is against Tosfos. Now, I actually had a different Ramban in mind. I don't know why I brought this Ramban instead. I have to look at my notes and see where I went wrong with it. Because I have another one in the Ramban that I didn't bring on the sheet that he actually says a temporary buyer normally is a renter. But I'll have to find that. Going with what the Ramban says
that's
here...
That's more like Tosfos.
That seems, well, it's even stronger than Tosfos. So I have to find where I found that.
It's more responsibility.
Yeah. Right. So right now, he sounds like the Rambam. And in fact, take a look at Sor Zion. The Rambam in Hilchos Sheila Upikadon says the following. Isha Shishala, if a woman borrows a cow, V'achar kach nises, and then gets married, Hare habal kelokeach mimena, her husband is like a purchaser. He bought it off of her. He ain't no shomer sachar. He's not guarding it for pay. He's not a borrower either. Lefichach, and therefore, imhaisa devar hasheela behema. Let's say the borrowed item was a cow. Umesa, and the cow died. Habal potter, he is entirely exempt from responsibility. Even though he used it the entire time. Afilu pasha, and even if he was careless. So there, take that to us, folks. He is a buyer. When she turns up with independent money, she will have to pay back the person from whom she borrowed the cow.
And this is talking about a metaltolin.
Yes, it is a movable item.
And now he's covered both his sides.
Well, we don't know, but it sounds like it.
Yeah.
It sounds like
from
it.
This, yeah.
In fact, take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch does in Source Ches. Isha Sheshala Be'achar Kach Nises. If a woman borrows a cow and then gets married, Hare Habal Kelokeach Ve'ein Lo Din Shomer. The husband is like a purchaser. He does not have the status of a guardian. Lefichach im adaver hashal behema umesa. So if the borrowed item is a cow and it died, habal potter, the husband is exempt. Aba pishu mishtamish ba kol yemei she'el asa, even though he uses it the entire period of the loan. Afilu pasha, even if he's careless, mivneshu kelokeach, because he is like a lokeach. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam. Excellent, we think. Not so fast. But that's what it sounds like. And the Rama adds, Avalo mifter mitam shemir b'baylim. Don't make the mistake of thinking that he's exempt because it's like she'ela b'baylim, borrowing it with the owner present. It's not hers, she's not the Baal. That's a side issue with many interesting points to it, but we're not going to get to it now. Okay. So you're telling me that the Shulchan Aruch agrees with the Rambam, right? That's what you would have me believe. Yeah, sounds like the Rambam, no?
He's giving a halacha. Shulchan Aruch is giving the halacha. Is that it? When the Shulchan Aruch says something, that's the halacha, no?
Yeah. So I would have thought. I see that it's actually wrong in my table. I entered it wrong in the table, which is not good. But the reason I did that is because I was jumping the gun. Now, there's no way we're wrapping this up in the next 10 minutes. So I'm not even sure how to go with this. But we have time now. Mm-hmm. Okay, I must have looked at one of your watches. One of you has a fast watch.
Mine.
Yeah. Okay, that was a fool of me. Okay, no, we have some time then. Good. The right now, as of right now, if you were to stop me here and say, so what's the story? I would say the law in the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam that the temporary buyer is the owner, right? Free and clear, fully. And therefore, let's translate that over to Pesach. And I would say, if I sell the non-Jew my chametz, he is the full owner of the chametz. Chametz belongs to him. I have no problems. It's entirely his. He has no responsibility to me. He's not even a Shomer Chinam. I wonder also about how we fit in the whole issue of Shmira and non-Jews, because remember we said last time that non-Jews are not obligated in Shmira for a Jew's property. So that's another piece of the puzzle, perhaps. But the...
can I have a Kenyan?
Potentially, yes. Yeah, we engage in transactions. Yeah. However, we're going to get in trouble now. First of all, what is the wife's position? The wife's position, according to Tosfos, is that she is still responsible for it. Right? She is the seller. Right? So she is still the one who is responsible for it. The Rambam's position is she is still responsible for it as well. He said it explicitly. He said she's going to have to, when she gets money, she's going to have to pay it back to the original owner. Okay, so we have a machlokas regarding the buyer. We have the seller still being the owner. But now, look at what happens next. Buying a movable item temporarily, not a wife case. Okay, generic. I buy an animal for 30 days. We don't have a case in the Gemara to look at. The Gemara doesn't present this as a discussion, buying an item for 30 days. So we do know Tosfos' position, because Tosfos said it. Right? Back in Source Aleph, Tosfos said, Halokech behem l'shloshim yom. If you buy an animal for 30 days, he said, you're a shomer chinam. You're the owner. You, Mr. Buyer, is the owner. But he's also a shomer chinam. That's Tosfos. Ramban, which I can't prove because I brought the wrong Ramban on the sheet, says that you are a renter. The Rambam does not discuss such a case explicitly. Okay? The Rambam does not give me a clear exposition of my position, what I am. However, he gives me a hint. Okay? Take a look in Source Tess, and this is where we venture into Chametz territory. Okay, I would have assumed from the Rambam's position regarding the cow that where he said that the husband is not responsible. So I would have said that means that the buyer is just a buyer. He has no shmira responsibilities, right? Take a look and see regarding. I'm looking at my notes and realizing I don't think I wrote this correctly in my notes. I think we're even better off than I thought, so that's good. Take a look at the Rambam in Source Test. He deals with the case of a pikadon. I hold an item. I'm guarding an item on behalf of somebody else. The item starts to deteriorate faster than expected. What do? I have to preserve it for him. That's my responsibility as a guardian. but I can't preserve it in its current form. So what am I doing with it? So the Rambam writes, first of all, Hamafkid Peres Etzel Chavero, somebody gives someone else produce to watch, Hareza lo yigabahen, he should not touch the produce. Ve'afah, he the guardian. Ve'afah pishen chosin umismatin v'holchen, even if they are deteriorating. When is that true? If they're deteriorating at the standard rate, what should be expected? But if they are deteriorating at a faster rate, you go to Beis Din and you sell it off. Because you are restoring a lost item to the owner. And then when he sells them, he sells them to the Kohanim for truma worth at the truma rate, because shema asu osin abaylim truma trumas maisa peres acheres, because you don't know, maybe they're actually truma. So you have to be careful. You can't accidentally sell a Yisrael truma. So you sell them as truma. That's what you do. Selling it in Beis Din. Okay, that's my first case. Case number two, Beis. Hamafked etzel chavero peros vir kivu. He gave you produce to watch, and it went bad. Dvash, honey, vinifsa, and it was ruined. Yayin, vehechmetz, wine, and it became vinegar. Oset hakana labala pikado. And you do what you can to make it up to him. Whatever you can recoup. Umochem bebeisin, you sell it in Beis Din. Aval pishamdu behefseidan, even though now that it's ruined, it ain't going to get any worse. Ve'ina hefseid posa bahen, this loss is not spreading. Nonetheless, the receptacle in which it's being held is still going to be worse over time. So therefore, you sell it off and base it. Good? Good? Gimel is the catch. You give someone chametz to watch. And Pesach arrives. You wait till Yudalid Nisan, the fifth hour of the day. Until then, you don't touch it. Maybe he'll come back. Mikan ve'elich, but from then on, yotzeu mochro b'shuk. You go out and sell it in the marketplace. L'shaito. What is l'shaito? A temporary sale. You sell it temporarily. In other words, you say, I want a non-Jew to buy this chametz for 8 days. Mishum Hashem aved l'baylim, because that's the way you restore the lost item to the owners. V'adin l'shara b'gdonos, and the same thing is true for all other items that are under people's guard. Shalo yigavahen, you don't touch it. Avo bisho yodeya b'vadei shiyazulu b'zman ploni, even though you know they're going to go bad by a certain time. O yenos osam ha-melech, or the king will take them. Shema yavo balein mikodim v'yilu monam, because maybe the owner is planning on coming back. So the Rambam says that you can do a temporary sale of the chametz. That indicates that the Rambam believes, by movable items, that a temporary sale is a valid sale, and the buyer, is a full owner. Correct? Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't allow a temporary sale. That is...
Otherwise, he would be
chametz for sure.
Correct. Correct. So, that's the Rambam's position regarding a movable item. But now, look at Shulchan Aruch and Source Yud. Lokeach behema l'shloshim yom, shomer chinam aleha. If you buy an animal for a 30-day purchase, you are a shomer chinam. Who is that like?
Tosfos.
When we dealt with the wife with the cow, right? When we dealt with the wife's case, he followed the Rambam and said that you're a lokeach and that's it. You're not a shomer chinam. Now, over here, he suddenly wakes up and says, I like Tosfos. You're a shomer chinam. Which is it? How in the world am I supposed to make heads or tails of this position of the Shulchan Aruch? It's very hard to say that this works with the Rambam.
It's the same simon in Shulchan Aruch's business.
Yeah, it's the next sif. You're right, 100%. So what in the world am I supposed to do with this? I also have a problem, a side problem. The Sma there says that the reason is he's kevin de'ino lokeach gomor. He's not a full lokeach. But Tosfos said he was a lokeach. So I don't understand the Sma either. But that's icing on the cake. So I don't understand why the Shulchan Aruch switched sides on the buyer. In terms of the seller, Tosfos says, it appears to me that the seller is a bona fide mocher. Right? Tosfos believes that the seller is a bona fide seller because he recognizes the buyer as a purchaser. It's not like the wife case where you said she retains some degree of responsibility. That's what I believe Tosfos is going to say regarding the movable item. the Ramban is going to say the seller is still the owner because it's only a rental. The Rambam is going to say he is a real bona fide seller because I, as the buyer, am a full buyer. Right? That's how it works regarding chametz. And the Shulchan Aruch, well, I'm entirely confused. Because regarding the wife, he said the Rambam. Regarding this temporary purchase case, he says Tosfos. So I'm lost on that. But it gets better. Because now we have the case of buying land temporarily. Okay. We don't have a case in the Gemara for buying land temporarily. Tosfos does not comment on buying land temporarily. Neither does the Rambam for that matter. Neither does Ramban, I should say. The Rambam does. Right? The Rambam said, we already saw it back in the beginning in source base, that it's a full sale. Right? That was the Magid Mishnah's line, that it's like Yovel, right? So the Rambam says it's a full sale. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in source Yud Aleph. Hamocher guf hakarka l'zman katsuv. You sell land for a specific period of time. Hareze mechira. That's a sale. Umishtamish halokech beguf kechefzo. The purchaser uses the body of it as though it's his own. Ve'ochel aperos kol zman habechira. He eats the produce the entire period. Ubesof tachzor lebeleh. And at the end he returns it. Following the view of Rambam. Right? Now, it could be Tosfos agrees also. We don't have anywhere that tells us Tosfos' position. It could be Tosfos agrees. But the way that it's framed, it sounds like the Rambam. So the seller's position, Tosfos doesn't say at all. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch sound like it's a full sale. So in sum, if you take a look at the table at the bottom of the second side, understanding that I miswrote the wife's cow according to Shulchan Aruch, and that's a mistake. But I end up with Tosfos saying, excuse me, Tosfos saying that with the wife's cow case, the buyer is a shomer chinam and a buyer at the same time, and the seller is still the owner regarding the cow. On movables, Tosfos says the buyer is a purchaser shomer chinam. The mocher he doesn't say, and I don't know his position on land and chametz. Ramban, I'm going to leave out for the time being. Rambam, because I didn't bring the proper source for it, the Rambam says that the buyer of the wife's cow is a lokeach, right? The on the movable items, he says also he is a lokeach. I wrote there baal. I'm going to change that to say lokeach to have parallel language. The seller, in the case of the wife's cow, is still the owner, right? Because she is responsible for anything that happens to it. And regarding the movables, the seller is nothing. And ditto in the case of the land. The buyer is everything and the seller is nothing. And the Shulchan Aruch followed the Rambam on the wife's cow, followed Tosfos on the movables, and then either he's just following the Rambam on land, or he's following Tosfos also, and Tosfos agrees with the Rambam on land. Ivan, now you understand why I was breaking my head trying to understand all of this. This is hard stuff. So how do we apply this to chametz? So within Tosfos, it seems that the temporary seller of movable items is a valid seller. It's just that the buyer is a shomer chinam, because he's going to have to do something with it at the end. Within the Rambam, it's...
One second. Yeah. But that's going to put him in a situation where he has achrayus for something. Then if he has achrayus for something, what we said last week...
The non-Jew has achrayus for it, not the Jew. The Jew sold it to him.
The non-Jew.
Yeah.
And therefore, if he has achrayus for...
If the non-Jew has achrayus, it doesn't bother me. As long as I am called a seller, I'm fine. I believe that you can read Tosfos. This is against the Kometz HaMincha. The Kometz HaMincha believes that Tosfos doesn't accept this. And you'll see why in a moment. Or in 2 moments. But I think you can read Tosfos that way, that it's a valid sale. Within the Rambam, it's certainly...
That's very clear.
Yeah, within the Rambam, it's certainly a full sale. That's why he allowed it, right? That's what we saw in Source Tess. The Rambam was good with it. The Kometz HaMincha also points out that the Rambam had another difference between Aleph and Bet and Gimel. The Rambam in Aleph and Bet, pre-Chametz, before he discussed Chametz, talked about selling it in a Beis Din. But in Gimel, he dropped the Beis Din requirement. And the reason is, let me see how much time we have. I'll do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it outside of the text. The reason for that is that the Rambam is saying you're right now selling it to his advantage as a temporary sale. The other cases were not temporary sales. So since it's not a temporary, since it's only a temporary sale, you don't need a Beis Din because he's not losing anything. You're just selling it off now as fast as you can as a temporary sale. Therefore, there's no problem. Not only that, you davka have to do it as a temporary sale. The Kometz HaMencha points out the Magen Avraham in source Yudalid. Actually, it's the footnote Chafala that points out the Magen Avraham in Yudalid, who says that if you have the opportunity to do a sale that's a temporary sale, knowing that he's going to sell it back to you after Pesach, then that's your obligation, because that's the best deal you can get for the owner of this chametz. So that's the position of the Rambam, that you do a temporary sale and it's fine. Now, so far I thought even the Tosfos could agree with the Rambam. The Kometz HaMincha doesn't think so. And the reason is because what the Shulchan Aruch says. Because in source Tesvav, we get the Shulchan Aruch's discussion of what to do, in source Yud Gimel, we get the Shulchan Aruch's discussion of what you do in the event that you have this chametz pikadon before Pesach. Yisrael shayu biyado, chemtzo shal Yisrael achar pikadon. You're holding another Jew's chametz as an item to guard. Yakvenu at shah chamishis. You hold it until the fifth hour. Vim lo ba baylov, imkerenu leinu Yehudi. If the owner doesn't come around, you sell it to someone who isn't Jewish. What's he missing? He says nothing about l'shaito. Nothing about a temporary sale. Right? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept the idea of a temporary sale. So why is that? So possibility number one is indeed that Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam, right? And doesn't recognize the seller as abandoning hold. And Shulchan Aruch is siding with Tosfos. And that's the Kometz HaMincha's approach. The other possibility is that Chometz is fundamentally different from movable items in general. So that the Shulchan Aruch, when it came to movable items, right? When it came to movable items, maybe this is the second possibility. He agrees with the Rambam fundamentally. Temporary sales really are valid. Okay? I agree with the Rambam on the wife's cow, I agree with the Rambam on land, I agree with the Rambam, and maybe even regarding movables, I agree with the Rambam. However, chametz might be unique. This is the point the Magen Avraham raises in separate context, in source Tezvav, Tezayin. They're talking about Chametz Shavar al Ava Pesach. Okay? And there, you see it in Tezvav. Chametz Shavar Shavar al Ava Pesach. The Jews' Chametz, after Pesach is over, right? Aser ba'ana, you're not allowed to benefit, even if it was by accident, even if it was ones that he still had it. If he sold it or gave it to a non-Jew outside his house before Pesach, then even though he knows that the non-Jew is planning on giving it back after Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch continues, mutter. As long as it's given as an unconditional gift to the non-Jew or sold to him as a full sale, even for a small amount of money. That's our source for selling chametz. But a gift, the Shulchan Aruch concludes in Tesvav, but if it's a gift on condition that he return it, that's not a valid sale of chametz. That's not getting rid of your chametz. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Magen Avraham, why not? Avagav in Tezayin, Avagav de Bechol Makom Havi Matana, in general we say that it is a valid gift. Kedisa Parakamah de Kedushin of Pesukah Parakimel, Mishum Chumr de Chametz Lo Mahani. Because we're extra strict regarding chametz.
How can you give me this? Is Nisra lo techanim?
By land.
Lo techanim is of anything. You know, to give to an non-Jew gratuitous great gift.
Right, so I'll say that it's not, because I have a tzorach. I mean, I'll leave aside the questions of lo techanim in specific, because I don't want to go there right now. But I'll say that I have a benefit, because I need to get rid of it before Pesach. I think there are other ways to solve it also, but let's leave it at that for the moment. So, again, in sum, if we can sum this up, the issue of a temporary sale. When it comes to the wife with the cow, Satosvo says you, the buyer, are a shomer chinam and a purchaser. The Rambam says you are a full purchaser. The Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam. When it comes to a temporary purchase of movable items, Tosa says again, buyer and shomer chinam. The Rambam says no, you bought it entirely, and the Shulchan Aruch sides with Tosfos against the Rambam. When it comes to land, Tosfos does not express a position. The Rambam says once again, it is a full purchase, And the Shulchan Aruch sides apparently with the Rambam against Tosos, but maybe Tosos agrees with the Rambam. When it comes to Chametz, the Rambam says, sure, you can do a temporary sale. Tosos doesn't say anything. The Shulchan Aruch says you can't do a temporary sale. Either Tosfos holds with his position from movables, right, and says, therefore, that you can't do a temporary sale when it comes to Chametz. That's one possibility, and the Shulchan Aruch is siding with Tosfos. The other possibility is that Tosfos agrees with the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch agrees with the Rambam fundamentally, but because of Chumra de Chametz, he's not willing to allow you to do the temporary sale. That could be the explanation. What we still have not answered is why the Shulchan Aruch sides with the Rambam on the wife's cow and doesn't side with the Rambam when it comes to movables and does when it comes to land. I had a thought about that. Maybe we'll come back to it at a future date, because I did have a thought about how that might work out. But we'll pick up with that, God willing, not next week and not the week after. Next week, there's a...